This ministry is supported by the members and friends of First Unitarian Church of Des Moines. If you would like to support future podcasts, go to www.ucdsm.org to make your contribution.
So today is about tradition. It's about coming together yet again to remind ourselves that we are unique and connected, that we freely choose to gather, to blend, to be held in this place that we call church. And that by our choice, we become part of a stream of life that has flowed here in Des Moines for more than 139 years as the First Unitarian Church of Des Moines. A stream that has carried many hearts and minds toward greater understanding, greater love, and greater justice. A stream that is broadened by our participation in it and by our willingness to invite others to contribute to it. Since we are thinking today about water as a metaphor for our lives and for our religious community, I want to tell you about the work of Dr. Mizuro Emoto. Dr. Emoto was a Japanese scientist who, before he died in 2014, offered to the world what some might contend are outlandish claims. I can't literally verify the findings he offers as truth. I probably wouldn't even bother to try. But I can metaphorically verify them, and maybe you can too. For more than a decade, Emoto took photographs of frozen ice crystals. He started doing this as a simple experiment, and it grew into a passion to discover what he called the hidden messages in water, which is the name of his book, The Hidden Messages in Water. Messages that he believes could lead us to better understand the mysteries of our existence and to live a more peaceful and fulfilled life as a result. His journey began with his hunch that water has the ability to copy and memorize information. His hunch came from his understandings of homeopathy, a system of medical treatment based on the theory that you can fight toxins by treating them with minute quantities of the toxins diluted in water. Now, in his search to find physical proof of why this treatment could work, Emoto found an open door in his remembrance of a fact that he had long taken for granted, a fact that most of us started learning and thinking about in elementary school, the fact that no two snow crystals are exactly the same. He figured that if he froze water and looked carefully at the crystals, each one would be unique and might convey something important about itself. After trial and error, he and his assistant developed the ability to freeze water in such a way that enabled them to observe and photograph crystals. They started by simply noting the differences among crystals formed by water from different sources. For example, the crystals formed from tap water out of a sink or hose were usually deformed as compared to the crystals that were created using the water of natural springs, glaciers, or underground rivers. One day, his assistant suggested that they expose water to music before creating the crystals. The results, Emoto says, were astonishing. Water from bottles that were exposed to the music of Chopin or Mozart formed beautiful, detailed crystals, he said, while the water that was exposed to, quote-unquote, violent heavy metal music resulted in fragmented and malformed crystals at best. Now, for you Slipknot fans out there, you may think this sounds like hogwash. And maybe you're right. But wait, there's more. The team then performed additional experiments with water, like wrapping the bottles with pieces of paper upon which were written words like thank you or fool. Emoto admitted that it didn't seem logical that water would be able to read the writing and change its form accordingly, but that appears to be what happened, as the water that had been exposed to positive words or expressions created beautiful crystals, while the water exposed to negative expressions barely formed crystals at all. Even more incredible, the language in which the words were written didn't affect the outcome. Whether using Japanese, English, or German words, the result was still the same. Positive words led to beautiful crystals. Emoto claimed the key to understanding this phenomenon is found in three words. Existence is vibration. The science of quantum mechanics contends that substance is essentially vibration. Breaking down a substance into its smallest parts, atoms, we can understand that each nucleus and corresponding set of electrons has its own vibration or frequency. While the human ear cannot detect all frequencies, Emoto believed that water can. In fact, he called it the master listener. a substance of unique sensitivity that receives all frequencies, carries them, and mirrors them back to the world. Wacky, right? Maybe even impossible to believe. When I first read his book, I found myself shaking my head a lot, even chuckling at the beautiful color photographs of crystals he included. "You can't be serious," I found myself saying to no one in particular. And yet, is it really so wacky to grasp the real lesson of his work, that it matters what we believe, that it matters how we treat each other, the messages we convey, the ways in which we choose to expose ourselves to beauty, to love, to gratitude, or not? Don't we all have empirical evidence from our lives that when we have approached a situation with openness, with kindness, with gratitude, the result has been typically better than when our attitudes and actions have been drenched in negativity, in selfishness, or expectations of control over others? I know. My attitude or your attitude would have nothing to do with, say, last month's flooding in Baton Rouge, or the recent earthquake in Italy, or maybe even a painful disagreement you're currently having with someone in your life. Some misery is simply unavoidable. We know this, whether it comes via an act of nature or an act of human violence or disregard. Just thinking positive thoughts or meditating in front of a bottle of water would have little impact on most of the chaos and unrest in the world. And yet, refusing to acknowledge the power and influence our own lives can have on the lives of our human family and this planet we share contributes more, I think, to our despair than we may be able or willing to acknowledge. Dr. Emoto wrote, "In what direction are we headed? What is our role in protecting this planet? Such questions can only be considered when we recognize the greatness of the human being. Perhaps it is time that we stop seeing the human being as only the evil agent. I think we underestimate the innate abilities we each have. We have enormous power." Think about it. If water is the master listener, capable of carrying information and mirroring it back, what does that mean for we human beings who are nearly three-quarters water? What power might we have? Power that can and does influence the lives of those around us. I heard a story recently of a mom who created an experiment for her daughter to remind her of the ways in which the words and attitudes we carry into the world have an impact that we should not forget. The mom's name is Amy Beth Gardner. She explained that the night before her daughter was to start middle school, after they had decorated her locker and bought her new clothes, even surprised her with a new backpack, she shared with her daughter another pre-middle school task that was far more important than the others. And I'd like to replicate this experiment for you today, but I need a volunteer. Would someone be willing to come up on stage and do a task for me? Please, come on up. This is great. It's very exciting. The experiment, I can't say it went as planned at the last service, but we'll see how we do for the second service. I just never know how these things are going to go. What's your name?
Lark.
Hi, Lark. I'm Mark. Lark and Mark. What is this?
Toothpaste.
Pepsodent toothpaste. Doesn't have to be Pepsodent. It can be any kind of toothpaste. But Pepsodent was 99 cents at the drugstore. Can you believe that? 99 cents? It makes you wonder what's in here. Right? But that's not the point of this ritual. 99 cents. Okay. So this is the task. I want you to squirt out that toothpaste onto this plate. You can use both hands. Get it all out there. I keep wanting to put the mic as though it's going to make... Let's make noise. What noise should it make? You got it out? You're doing great. It's a lot of pressure. Okay. I think that's good. I love your determination, Lark. Yes. Awesome.
All right. Beautiful. Okay. Thank you. Stay here. Yes, yes. I appreciate the determination. All right, so now here is the real experiment. I want you to put that toothpaste back in the tube. Okay. You can use whatever method you want. What's wrong?
It's just crazy.
What's crazy?
That you have to put the toothpaste back in there.
Seems impossible, doesn't it?
You don't even want to try. Okay, fair enough. Let's have a round of applause for Lark.
Thank you, Lark. Thank you.
All right, so what's the point of this experiment? Well, I'm going to let the mom's words speak for themselves. After her daughter did this same experiment that Lark did for us, she told her daughter, "You will remember this plate of toothpaste for the rest of your life because your words have the power of life and death. As you go into middle school, you are just about to see how much weight your words can carry. You are going to have the opportunity to use your words to hurt, demean, slander, and wound others. You are also going to have the opportunity to use your words to heal, encourage, and inspire love in others. You will occasionally make the wrong choice." She said, "I can think of three times this week I have used my own words carelessly and caused harm. And just like this toothpaste, once the words leave your mouth, you can't take them back. So use your words carefully. When others are misusing their words, guard yours. Make the choice every morning that life-giving words will come out of your mouth. Decide today that you are going to be a life-giver in middle school. Be known for your gentleness and compassion. Use your life to give life to a world that so desperately needs it. You will never, ever regret choosing kindness." Toothpaste is words? I don't know, but I think it's a good lesson for us all, middle schoolers or not. One more story. Kind of smells like a dentist office up here. One more story. This is back from Dr. Emoto again, from his book. He wrote of a family who conducted another experiment, this time with water again. They put rice in two glass jars filled with water, and several times a day for a month, they said thank you to one jar and you fool to the other. When they got up in the morning, when the children came home from school, when the family went to bed at night, they said thank you to one jar and you fool to the other. Over the month, they recorded how the rice in the jars changed. The difference, they said, was stark. After 30 days, the rice that was thanked started to ferment with a mellow smell like malt. The rice that was exposed to the abusive message, "you fool," rotted and turned black. Emoto claims that hundreds of families throughout Japan conducted the same experiment and all had the same result. One family took the experiment a step further. Along with the thank you jar and the you fool jar, they added a third container to which they said nothing. They simply ignored it. The result? Emoto reports that the rice that was ignored rotted more quickly than the rice that was exposed to you fool. When others tried the same experiment, he says they had the same results. It's crazy, right? This didn't really happen. But that's not the point. The lesson we can draw from this is significant. Even in its parable form, being ridiculed is not as damaging as being ignored. We know this. Being ridiculed is not as damaging as being ignored. Which brings me to a prayer that I like to share this time of year. As so many of us or our loved ones are going back to school, getting back into our fall routines, it's a prayer by my friend and colleague, the Reverend Meg Riley. Called A Prayer for School Children Who Are Different. But I think its wisdom and encouragement applies to us all. So I share it as we begin a new school year, a new church year, the first day of the new year that begins every single day of our lives. Won't you join me in a spirit of meditation, reflection, or prayer? For those who are different or who feel different, who learn differently, think differently, feel differently, who look different, whose faith is different, whose family is different, who whose way to connect is different, whose way to dress is different, whose faith is different, whose place to live is different, whose sexuality is different, whose gender is different, whose culture is different, whose language is different, whose favorite foods are different, who loves different smells, whose body looks different or works differently, whose values and beliefs are different. Do you see that different is just a word? And may you be freed from its poison. Different, just an idea laced with fear. Don't let it scare you. A word expressing lack of imagination by those who use it to judge. Don't let it limit your own. They can't see that difference is the very essence of life. The opposite of different isn't normal, it is death. Don't let their sharp thorns kill your true self. As the school doors are open again, may you walk in safety with all of your unique loveliness intact, knowing you are loved by people who haven't even met you yet. People you see and don't see, your closest friends and family, people who will never even meet you, all hold you in our hearts. We need every bit of you as we walk our own different paths. As the summer days end, may you find the long day's bright light shining in your mind as you learn, as you go out on this crazy river, this life, where you will navigate choppy waters, take new turns. May you know in your bones you are never alone. As you search for a place of ease and comfort, may you know in your cells that it lives within you, and that people who love you are everywhere smiling. Amen. People who love you are everywhere smiling. May it be true for us all. Let's have a great school year, a great church year too.